In this podcast, we hear from Jen. Not only did she write our book, Sam and the Spider, but she's also written other books to break down perceptions. And she talks about the importance of reading and the improvements it can make for children and adults. Why not buy our book, Sam and the Spider? A book that was written in collaboration with children all across Essex, aimed at breaking down perceptions and building friendships. It's a fantastic book and can be purchased on Amazon for just $6.99. Jen, what is Jar Jar Books?
Well, it began about 9 years ago, and I decided to write stories. And I also wanted to set up my own kind of publishing company, as it were. So I self-publish, but it's under the name of Jar 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 Books, which is ha 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 in Spanish, because my books are bilingual. Well, the first ones were.
Yeah.
And it means to laugh, like ha ha ha. So I thought I wanted to encourage children to learn new languages in a fun way. So I thought, what would be a fun sounding company? So that's how it all began when I moved back from Spain 9 years ago.
Like, so to this date, Jen, how many books have you written, and what's out there? Can you tell us a little bit about the books?
Now you're asking. I think it's 9 in total, actually. Yeah, I haven't quite... Yeah, 9, and I do have an e-book as well, so that's 10. The first books that I wrote, they were the bilingual ones, so I'd come back from Spain. I wanted to find a way of teaching children how to learn a language in an enjoyable way, because so many people have so many bad experiences about learning languages, like, oh, my French teacher was awful at school, and, you know.
Yep.
So I thought, yeah, how can we do this? And in a way, they don't almost realise that they're learning. Mm. So I wrote stories in English with Spanish and French slipped into the context, a few words. And then there's a vocabulary guide at the back and a pronunciation guide, because a lot of people say, oh, I don't know how to say it. I can't teach it to my child. But yeah, it's a way that a parent and a child can learn together almost. And they went down really, really well. And then I had my little girl, Carmen, and I decided, I was inspired by my sister who went to work in India at a deaf school. And it inspired me to write Ranveer Cannot Hear. And that's a book which is about empathy, inclusion. And at the back, you have the BSL alphabet, so all children can learn to sign their name.
Yeah.
It's in the ASL alphabet's there as well, because it sells in America on Amazon.
Brilliant.
And yeah, and then I kind of expanded really to writing books which are more inclusive. And it went from there, really.
Yeah. And so I suppose that's where kind of the multi-school stuff and the link comes in, is around.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's about breaking down perceptions and showing inclusion. So if we go to that then straight away about Sam and the Spider, you obviously wrote Sam and the Spider for us. You came and sat in some of the multi-school meetings. Can you tell us a bit about like that process and what it was like, and then producing the book?
It was tricky, actually, because I'd spoken to yourself and I think you'd read Ranveer Cannot Hear, and that's why you asked me in.
Yes.
And we kind of came up with this idea, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I really wanted, because this is the ethos of the multi-school council, is to get children's opinions and viewpoints across. So I attended the meetings and I would ask children what they would like to see in the book. Little did I know there was quite a few children in the multi-school council and had quite a few differing opinions and multicoloured roller skates and all these different things that they wanted in it. So I kind of had to hone, you know, had to narrow down what they wanted and come up with the storyline and kind of back and forth, see what kind of illustrations they wanted. I didn't want anything too bright, too garish. I wanted to keep it simple. I wanted to keep the message simple and for it to appeal to a lot of people.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And if people are listening, every single primary school in the whole of Essex has got a copy of Sam and the Spider, because Essex County Council did a brilliant job in backing that up.
Yeah.
So for you, Jen, what were some of the like key messages then that came from that book?
We were kind of trying to break down perceptions, but we were also trying to create empathy as to if that's going into a mainstream school, that book. And I've had feedback that they're using it in kind of assemblies and things.
Yeah.
Those children are then learning about something they wouldn't necessarily know about before. And it's highlighting key points. If you've got a child in your class who maybe looks like they're behaving naughty, it might not be because they're naughty. And I think it created an understanding. And that was our aim, really. It wasn't just for children in special schools. It was for everybody.
Absolutely.
And I think it worked, because it did go out to every primary school in Essex, which was a real defining moment for both of us, really. We were so proud of ourselves.
Definitely.
No, not easy.
100%. And I think for other schools who maybe might not be involved yet in the multi-schools, they can see the power of children's ideas, and that actually goes somewhere and gets, you know, made into something that can be kept forever.
You might get children that might be having some behavioural maybe issues or something, or feeling like they're not understood. And they might find that book in their school library and read it and think, hold on a minute, this is how I feel. And then they might be able to contact someone or talk to someone about it as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a really good point, actually. And again, like I said, hopefully if there are schools listening to it, if you haven't read it yet, dig it out, have a look at it, because it is a really, really good book. For you, Jen, then, obviously you've got a passion around writing, otherwise you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Why do you think reading's so important for like young children to kind of really love and get engaged with?
It's not just young children. I think for so many different kind of times in your life, reading can help you. I think it's a lovely moment for a parent and a child to sit down in those beginning stages, to sit down and read a book together, because it's time when you can relax. And they're learning again without realizing sometimes through a book. And then like for me, as I got older, it was a form of escapism. I just loved opening a book and it taking you into a whole other world or a whole different era, you know, and it's a form of escapism. I absolutely love it. And it can help you relax. And then there's books. Some people don't like kind of fictional books. There's so many non-fictional books which can help you grow as a person as well now. So there's so much that can be taken from reading a book.
Obviously, we're in a very unusual time at the moment. So in some ways, though, that might allow people to read a little bit more because they might have more time. Unless you've got kids. Or you could read with them. If you're able to do that. I'll put you on the spot here then, Jen. What are you reading at the moment? Or what would you maybe encourage other people to read right now?
I'm reading is it Anthony Horowitz? I can't remember his first name. He's he wrote Midsummer Murders, Foyle's War. I love a bit of a thriller.
Okay,
worryingly. I just love a plot and I love finding out what happens at the end. I think my favourite book of all time is a book by Sarah Waters called The Fingersmith. And it has the biggest plot twist in the middle ever. And I really love a twist. And I think it's amazing how some people, when they write these really long novels, how they can entwine all the different, parts of the book, and how can their brain work and figure all that out when it comes to the end. I'm intrigued by people who can write like that. But that's what I'm reading at the moment, yeah.
And obviously your books are the best, and we'd encourage people to read them as well. But what other books, maybe just as a couple, really good children books that you could recommend maybe in this time?
Julia Donaldson is brilliant. Not all of them, but some of them are just amazing. Her rhythm and rhyme. And I love a rhyming story.
Yeah.
I think she is incredible. You've put me on the spot because there's so many books. I love the one, I think it's A Squash and a Squeeze. I think that's by her as well. And that's got a lovely little moral to it. She's very clever. Having a moral to the story without it being too obvious and too kind of lectury, And I think that's a really clever thing to be able to do. Oh, yeah, Dr. Seuss, The Places You'll Go. I think I cried the first time I read that with her. It's just such a lovely little story. Probably one kids wouldn't necessarily understand at the time when they're reading it, but as you get older, you do.
Hopefully if there's parents listening to this, it might give us some ideas about, I might go and look that book up or get that book. So
there's another one as well called, You That's Choose. Right. I can't remember who it's by. It's got a lot of pictures in it, but you go through it and you say, if you wanted to live in a house, which would you choose? And you choose, there's loads of different pictures in it, different types of houses, tree houses, all sorts. If you could eat anything for the rest of your life, which would you choose? There's loads of different dishes and different foods. And I think it's actually great for if they're struggling with kind of making choices and wanting to make their own choices. Yep. It's a really good book to sit down with them with because it empowers them,
Yeah. And we were just speaking before even recording this about how this situation can affect children in different ways. So it might be that at the moment they are challenging more and trying to push the boundaries.
It's out of control.
Absolutely. It's out of control. It's out of context. So
yeah.
That's a really good point there about why reading's really important. Moving on to something slightly different now. You obviously were coming to our meeting, so you were, around lots of different children. You then came and volunteered at Market Fields, and you came into my class, which is brilliant because you were a massive help there. What did you kind of pick up from coming into the school, and what were some of the things you learned?
That everybody is so, so different. I absolutely loved it. I loved finding out that we often concentrate on what we're not good at, and it was so lovely to see you concentrate on what the children are good at. But it also was quite telling for me that I kind of thought, I really love working in a school, but I'm also not great with change because I made such great relationships. I felt only I know I wasn't coming in a lot, but with some of those students, when it came to them going up a year, I really struggled with it. I don't think I can do this, because I really wanted to stay with, say, a child that I'd made a connection with. I thought I would find it hard to keep swapping classes all the time. I don't know how teachers do it. I think I'd probably be better one-to-one with a student for a long time, building up a kind of relationship, learning what makes them tick. I think that would suit me better, personally.
I think you've made a really good point on there, actually. For me, my own perspective, I suppose, shining light on that is that I always say to my teams at the start of the year that the progress we make this year is great, but what we should really judge ourselves on is being able to walk around the school in 1, 2, 3 years' time and be able to look at that child and think, you know what, some of what we tried to help them with, they can now do on their own. So although, you're sad that they move up and you've built these really strong relationships, you can still, you know, be proud in what you've helped them to do. So that's a really good point.
It's interesting. They taught me something, really, in that sense about myself. You think you're going in there to help, but equally, I think the children can help you just as much.
Massively. I think if you did a survey of people at, you know, Markerfield and other special schools, they'd say exactly that around how it supports them as well to feel better about, you know, themselves and their own well-being, their mental well-being. So
definitely,
I would encourage anyone to work in a special school if they wanted. So one of the things we spoke about before, Jen, was about how we could spread kindness, and specifically at this time, obviously, I think it's really important that we do that. What did you kind of want to say on that?
Just really that I feel like kindness is contagious. I think when people see other people doing stuff, you feel like doing it as well. And I always do a little test. I'm one of those annoying people when you're driving. I give way all the time to people who want to come in a queue. My friend said once, she spotted me doing it. She was three cars back. She's like, you give way to everybody. But I see this butterfly effect. I always try and watch it and think, I've let that person in. Are they going to let the next person in who wants to come in? And honestly, I see it happen all the time. Because you've done it, they do it too, because they feel good that you've let them in. And I think that's how kindness works. I think if you see someone doing it, it can be quite infectious, you know. You want to do it yourself.
Absolutely. I think people say that about smiling even, don't they? That if you smile at someone, it can catch. And I think that's a really important message at the moment, that, you know, we are having to stay in and we are having to do things differently, but actually it can bring out the best in people, can't it?
I found it tough. I've obviously found it pretty tough. But there's been moments when, amongst all the sadness, I thought, there's some really great things that have come out of this, having family time, going for walks together, and finding the time just to learn, especially for my daughter, to learn skills which she wouldn't necessarily have the time for when she's in school. Out in the garden and things, you know, and we've been going on walks and finding out what flowers are. And I think we don't get this time that much in normal life. So there's been a lot of positives, a lot of sadness, I know, but there is positivity to come out of it as well.
Definitely. No, some really good advice there. And hopefully people could listen to that and take something from the kindness, whereas just if you're in a rush, make sure you don't get stuck behind Jen on the road. Because you'll be letting everyone out. Brilliant. Thank you for your time and no letting problem. Us speak to you. And if you have got the chance to do some reading at the moment, do it. Look up. Where could they find your books, Jen, if they want to find the books?
Amazon. I mean, it was classed as a non-essential for a while, but now it looks like the delivery's better and you can order, but they're all on Amazon.
Brilliant. And if you do work in a school and you haven't read it yet and you're in a primary school, Sam and the Spider, make sure that you have a read of that as well. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.